Hello everyone, my name is Rinnie and I'm so happy to be here with you today to deliver this message. My husband Bijo and our two boys, Micah and Lucas and I, became part of SCC after moving from Los Angeles to Columbus. And I'm the prayer ministry director here at Sanctuary Columbus. The purpose of the prayer ministry is joining with you all in prayer for our multi-ethnic family, so we can continually abide in the Lord in a way where we grow our relationship with God, be transformed by Jesus, united together, and serve in his community. A church that continually prays together, grows together in spiritual maturity, strength, and power. So it is an honor to preach this last message in our sermon series. This is our prayer. I will be preaching from Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I have titled this sermon, Building Our Prayer Capacity. Let me pray for us before we dive into the message. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for the privilege to come together digitally this season to worship, pray, and study your word. I pray that you quiet our hearts and our minds, that you make our hearts malleable as you inspire us with your holy word. May I decrease, Lord, and you increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Have your way in this time, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer is an important part of Christian life and life at Sanctuary Columbus. I'm sure we have all known some amazing prayer warriors in our lives. For me, I know the constant prayer of my prayer warrior spiritual mother, my grandmother, who went to be with the Lord last year, is a big part of my spiritual growth. She taught me that in every season, in every situation, for every person, and throughout every day, we pray. Praise God for the somebody you're thinking right now at home, who carried us in prayer. Now, if there's anyone at home who is listening, who feel like, I don't have anyone in my corner that prays for me like that, please know that changes today. We here at Sanctuary Columbus Church are ready to pray for you. So please email us a prayer request at prayer@sanctuarycolumbuschurch.com or join us for altar prayer every second and fourth Sunday of the month at 11 a.m. You hear that? Email your prayer request and join us for altar prayer. We are here to pray with you and pray for you. Now, we may all pray. However, we experience obstacles in prayer. Sometimes we may not have the motivation to pray for ourselves, much less anyone else. Or we limit our prayers to those who are dearest to us. Other times, we don't know how to pray. Moreover, we may think we're not very good at prayer. So best leave it to the experts, the pastors, the ministry leaders, the designated intercessors of the church. You don't know how many times I've looked at my grandmother and hoped, Lord, if I could only be one-tenth of the prayer warrior that she is. You see, prayer can be daunting as we get stuck or feel unworthy. I call this the prayer conundrum. We have all been there. Praise God that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And as we submit to the Lord, he is always molding us and training us. So I pray that as you hear this message, you know that God is the one that builds your capacity for prayer. And God is the one that builds your capacity to pray for each other. Let us turn to the word and see what the Lord has to teach us about intercession. We're reading from Colossians 1, 9 through 14. That's Colossians 1, 9 through 14 from the NIV translation. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh Lord, we praise you, God. We praise you, God, for this edifying word. Thanks be to God. I want to set the stage for our message. In Colossians 1, 9 through 14, we see that prayer is the resource through which the Holy Spirit enhances our capacity to intercede. Let's think of it this way. It's like saying exercise is the practice that develops our capacity for more physical fitness. The more we work out, the stronger we become, and the more endurance that we have. Prayer is the spiritual exercise through which we are transformed, strengthened, and sustained. Let's remember this now. Building our prayer muscles, these ones right here, our prayer muscles, takes habitual daily prayer practice. Before we see how this habitual practice plays out, let's look at the contextual background of Paul's prayer for the Colossians in the beginning of chapter 1. Paul was writing this letter to the church in Colossae, a city in Asia Minor, which is currently current-day Turkey. According to historical experts, Paul probably didn't plant this church and never even had the chance to visit this church. It is believed that Epaphras, whom Paul mentored during his ministry and church planting in Ephesus, planted and led the Colossae church. So Paul didn't have a personal responsibility for this church. However, Paul was a spiritual father to many. He supported people to do the work of God through intercessory prayer. So regardless of the direct or indirect nature of the connection between us and others, we can ask for prayer and we can pray for the people in our church family. Knowing this, Epaphras wrote to Paul, his mentor, to tell him about the Colossian church, both the positives and the negatives. The great things about the Colossian church is referenced by Paul in Colossians chapter 1. It was their faith in Jesus and the love they had for all believers. However, the Colossian church was a young church in a pluralistic trade center. The Colossians were becoming increasingly confused through false teachings like Gnosticism. Gnosis is the Greek word to know. Gnostics, a heretical Christian sect, did not believe in the sovereignty of Christ. Instead, they believed that salvation comes through a higher knowledge, not based in God's word, not based in the Bible, but divined by only a few chosen people. Basically, the Colossian church was becoming less and less centered on Jesus. Oof, have we felt like that? Being less and less centered on Jesus? This is the reason that Paul says in verse 9, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Verse 9 brings us to our first reference point about the way in which the Lord builds our capacity for prayer. When do we pray? Paul says, since the day we prayed, meaning right when they knew there was trouble, their first response, even before writing back, was to pray. We are to pray from the get-go. We have heard Pastor Rich use the term being a first responder at church. The Lord wants to train us to be first responders in prayer. So no matter what is happening in our families, in our church, or any of our other lands, the first thing we do is get on our knees and pray. In good times or bad, happy or sad. Can you think of that song reference I just mentioned? We are to pray. When our church family members are faced with difficult situations, when we are trying to discern for the big and small decisions in our lives, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, doesn't get tired of us. His mailbox, his voicemail, doesn't get full. We don't have to carry it all ourselves. Our Savior says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Life with Christ means that we can make the choice to habitually come to God in prayer. Praise you, God. What a privilege that we have. The importance of prayer being our primary action brings us to our second and third points. How do we know how to pray? And how much to pray? Let's read the first part of verse 9 again. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." The key word is here. In order to pray, we need to hear. We hear from people and we hear from the Holy Spirit. Hearing is hard when we don't feel like listening or sharing. At times we feel too vulnerable to share with people and ask for prayer, or we feel too shy to pray for other people. For me, it took the best part of 10 years to ask people for prayer for my chronic pain condition of fibromyalgia. You see, I was worried that people, even my family, would think less of me somehow, see me not as this capable person, but tainted as this person who was not well enough or was in pain too much. That thorn on the side Paul was talking about. We don't want to be identified by the thorns in our lives. COVID is another situation where people are less willing to share for fear of judgment. However, God does a healing work in us, in our pride, in our shame, in our distrust or pain, so we can boldly ask for help in prayer. Now, I'm not advising us to tell everyone everything. Yes, there are things we have to guard close to our hearts, just as Mary did. But what I want us to know is that you have prayer resources here at your church family. You have the prayer ministry, you have your pastors and ministry leaders, and you have your brothers and sisters in Christ who will be willing and ready to pray for you. And in fact, it helps them as they pray for you to be able to share their hearts and receive prayer. You see how all that is connected in the Lord? I mean, praise God. We have to listen to know how to pray, to hear how to pray, both to others and to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts us to pray for each other. This happens when we remain in God's presence daily through our devotions. In those quiet times, the Lord will bring to mind a person, a family, or a situation to pray for. You see, when we pray for each other, the Lord knits us together into this cohesive unit with a greater connection to each other in the family of Christ. That belonging to the body of Christ happens in prayer. Praise you, God. The best example I can give is the prayer ministry. The more the prayer ministers and I pray for all of you, even if we don't know you or your situation, the more Jesus grows our hearts for you, grows our hearts for our church and his beloved children. Church family, the more we pray for one another, the more the compassion and love of Christ fills us up, and we are able to see each other through to the breakthroughs. Yes, that's right. If someone was here right now, I'd be hearing an amen. Pastor Rich Mouth and an amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
That brings us to point three. How much do we pray? When we hear, Colossians 1 says, we are called to pray continually. Verse 9 says, without stopping. Paul prayed. Paul and the rest of the cohorts prayed. This doesn't mean we have to pray for everyone 24/7. That's not a pressure I'm putting on any of us. No. It means we are ready to be that first responder that we talked about, to pray as the Holy Spirit leads. Right then, sometimes when you receive that text, when you hear that call, when you see that information on the news of yet another racially charged violence, we pray. We pray. We pray. We are free to communicate with God anytime. We are called to live continually in an attitude of prayer where we are listening for the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we hit a wall in prayer or fall off the devotional wagon, come on, it happens to all of us. We get too busy, we get too tired, we get too sick. Know that grace, Christ's grace, is sufficient, and we can get back to our knees anytime. Oh, praise God. That's the freedom of prayer. No matter how prodigal a state we are going through, we can run back into the Father's arms. When we live in a posture of prayer and pray together, there's movement in the spiritual realm. That's where the verse says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Can someone say, ooh, injustice, poverty, ooh, disharmony. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Can we say peace and justice and mercy? Praise you, God. So this causes our transformation in the natural realm to live as the beloved children of God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we constantly live in this posture of prayer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, teaches us to pray for treasures. Point 4 explores what treasures to pray for. Jesus wants to enhance our asking and seeking and knocking so we can receive much more from the Lord than we even originally think. Verses 9 to 12 says, we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Praise God. In intercession, we are supporting each other's growth, each other's ability to grow in our intimacy with the Lord. In order to grow in that intimacy, we need to be filled with these foundational things, this priceless substance of God, God himself. So we pray these things. Number one, we see from the word, Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will so that your will be done in our lives. Number two, Lord, give us your wisdom to respond so our actions may be pleasing to you. Number three, Lord, bear fruit in us by making me more and more like Jesus, forming his character in me. Number four, Lord, strengthen us with power to have patience and endure, to not lose faith. Lord, may we give thanks to you. Number five, thanks in all things, for we trust you to be the good in our lives. We need to be filled with the treasures, the substance of God himself. We are constantly bombarded with all sorts of information, and some of it sounds interesting or enlightening. However, true knowledge, wisdom, and understanding comes from the three-in-one God, embodied by the Savior, who actually came down from heaven. Love came down to walk among us, the truth, the way, and the life. Oh, Lord Jesus, God's will for us, the plans and purposes God created us for, and even more of the Heavenly Father's heart for us is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit in prayer. Jesus is even in charge of bearing fruit in us. You know the word that says he is the vine dresser, the great gardener who plants us in the streams of his living water to yield fruit in season, despite our shortcomings or weaknesses. That's right, in spite of us. Most of the times, we bear fruit because the Lord bears it in us as we submit and obey God. I can testify to how the Lord has met me miraculously in prayer, even when I was at my worst. A few years ago, our church in LA had a fall conference in the mountains. This particular event was rough for me. I was on a 23-day stretch of intense chronic migraines. Regardless, we decided to go as a family. By Saturday night, I was sitting in the back of this dimmed hall, knowing that the prayer team will be called up soon to pray. Oof, I was completely miserable in my pain. With my head down on the table, angry, upset, I just kept saying to the Lord, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing. And I started hearing Jesus say in the Spirit so gently, oh, what a gentleman our God is. It's okay. Go pray. I got you. I got them. So after a few more I can'ts, I obeyed. My prayer partner and I prayed for hours. During intercession, as we prayed for people, we experienced the filling of God alongside the people we were praying for in all the ways God turns our ashes into beauty. One person who had been praying for decades for the gift of praying in the Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues, received that gift from the Holy Spirit that night. By the end of our prayer time, my 23-day migraine had broken, even though I had stopped praying for myself some time ago. Mind you, there were still others who were praying for me. This healing was an unexpected miracle. I will always remember that night as a testament of what God does in us as we pray and as we pray for others. Now let me tell you. You see, I don't pray because I'm this super cool prayer warrior. I pray because I am so broken that I have to depend on Jesus and take everything to the Lord in prayer to live a life even remotely pleasing to the Lord. See, we can pray for each other for this. We can pray that in our brokenness, that we can be so dependent on Christ that Christ becomes our source for everything, for every single thing. Whew, how much more power would we function with? How much more love and joy and peace would we function with? Praise you, God. Whew, thank you, Jesus. It is Jesus who causes us to be more than conquerors in any situation. So we be praying. We can be praying to be strengthened by this power, to have patience and endure. Now, endurance is the ability to withstand a difficult situation, and patience is the ability to withstand a difficult person. Two of my constant prayers this past year have been for God to help all of us persevere through COVID, and especially have more patience, more parental patience with our children. I pray this for us because even though we're not meeting together in person, it still takes a village to raise our children. It still takes the village of God for God to raise us, his beloved children. We can support each other in prayer to overcome despite our weaknesses and our inabilities. I just want to shout out to Linda Gygax's word about faithfulness. Praise God that we can be faithful. Praise God. And look what the Lord has done. Look at his faithfulness. Family, look, the Lord has sustained SCC through 10 years and counting. Praise God. Happy birthday again, Sanctuary Columbus Church. And especially through this past tough year, the likes of which most of us has never experienced. The Lord sustained us through a year of sickness, social unrest, racial violence, political upheaval, and more. Woo, praise you, God. Ooh, if we were all here in the sanctuary right now, I would be expecting us to jump up out of our chairs and dance on the floor in praise to God. Praise you, God. Speaking of praising God, let us pray for worshipful hearts. May we be ones who remember what the Lord has done and give him praise. Constantly coming back to the heart of worship is how we persevere in prayer. Psalms 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise his name." Worship is the first part of prayer. Worship is the key to living in the joy of the Lord. And worship helps us to come back and commune with God. We were created to worship Yahweh. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. It is in worship that our focal point becomes Jesus and not ourselves. Colossians 1:12-14 reminds us of all the reasons to glorify God. Let me read it. 12-14. God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow, praise God. God is the one that makes a way when there is no way. Christ is the one who saves, heals, delivers, and forgives our sins. Our Abba Father just loves us so much that he wants us to be a part of the process of our healing. He calls us into that, to join with him, to participate in our healing journey and in the healing journey of others. Praise God. Simply put, God loves the socks off of you. Abba Father says, "You are the apple of my eye. I have made you beautifully and wonderfully. You belong to me. You don't require anybody else's approval. Your worth is not based on your reputation or your education or your job or your wealth or your accomplishments or even, hear this, or even your spirituality. No, I, God the Father, qualifies you simply because you are my child," says God to us. "Nothing can separate you from my love," God says. "I have forgiven and forgotten all of your sins, removed it as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." We can boldly pray, knowing that God, in his unconditional love, has also given us the Holy Ghost. The Comforter helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us with wordless groans when we don't know what to pray for, it says in Romans 8. We can scoop up the people God brings to mind and confidently lift them up to God and hand them over to the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting, even in prayer. Praise God. Now, before I conclude this message, I have some action steps for us. Number one, identify your challenges with intercessory prayer. Why do you feel that way? And how is the Lord responding to those prayer obstacles through Colossians 1:9-14? Number two, think of ways you can listen better to other people and to the Holy Spirit? And how can we help others hear us better in our prayer needs? Number three, very important step, participate in more corporate prayer. I can give you some ideas. How about joining the prayer ministry? We are always looking for more intercessors. Come on. How about coming for prayer at the altar prayer times every second and fourth Sunday at 11 a.m. or emailing a prayer request or joining us for our Lent season prayer on Wednesdays? Yes, we started this week and is continuing up until Easter. Join us at Wednesday at 8:30 for some corporate prayer for our church. Now, it may be to have a prayer partner, someone who can walk with us in prayer. We have prayer partners in our prayer ministry. It is maybe to pray for some others who are not in our immediate circles. And what else will God bring up to you as you sit in prayer? In answering these questions, please know that God loves you so much and is building your prayer capacity. God loves us so much that he gave us the gift of his kingdom family. And through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Lord teaches us to pray for each other continually and boldly. We can pray with thanksgiving to know more of God and go from strength to strength in the love of Christ. In prayer, we cannot just survive, but we can thrive in the kingdom of God. SCC family, I praise God for you. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit take you deeper in your prayer journey. Know that we are here to pray for you. So email us with a prayer request. And join us at 11 a.m. after the service today for altar prayer. God bless you and keep you and make your face to shine upon you. Amen.